This is Will's Band of the Week for February 10th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey.
And Chris next to his washer and dryer.
Indeed. Me and my washer are here.
And so we might take a break in the middle, or Chris can give us a play-by-play as he takes the clothes out of the washer and puts them in the dryer. It's a nice, relaxed Sunday morning in beautiful, drizzly, dreary, wintry Madison, Wisconsin.
Hard to rock on a Sunday morning. It's not really conducive to heavy rocking.
Not really.
Yeah, I had a tough time getting rolling this morning. I had to get up at, you know, the show last night. We can talk about that later, but it went so late. I had to get up at like 6, go to the coffee shop and mop and do all these things.
Mm.
So,
Man.
Yeah, that's not the way I wanted to start my Sunday.
It's the perils of being a small business owner.
Yep. But you know what's funny? I've got a sense.
Were you waiting for an answer for that? Yes, I'd love
to
know.
No, that was a rhetorical question. We've kind of decided to put the contact information at the end.
Yeah.
But I think we're having a hard time getting rolling because
we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do.
Yeah. So stay tuned, listen to this whole podcast, and then you'll get the contact information at the end as your reward.
You'll be dying to contact us by the end of this podcast, without a doubt.
Right. So we have got so much to talk about. It's going to be exciting, I think. So I think first we should give some props to Jason Anderson, right? Last night we all saw Jason Anderson perform at the coffee shop, and Barrett sent me a message at about 6 o'clock to remind me about it. And I think I had such a crazy week and a crazy day, I think I would have just forgotten. So I'm really glad you gave me that reminder. And so somebody tell us about Jason Anderson.
Yeah, he's a guy that hasn't had a lot of, you know, commercial success, but he's on tour all the time, always touring, and he'll play house shows, he'll play coffee shops, once in a while, like a small rock club, but he's just got a really small but rabid following. And as far as what he does, I'll kick that over to one of you guys. You want to try to explain what you saw?
Well, I think he just does the if there's a genre called coffee shop, you know, he's really great at it, because he's got that ability to have the self-deprecating humor and kind of be a storyteller, and but not be hokey, you know. So he's funny and very musical and has a lot of talent, and he could get the crowd to sing along. And
right.
At one point, he got the crowd to follow him outside in like 20-degree weather, you know.
Yeah, and then he jumped up on that little ledge there, and that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Everybody walking outside, like clapping their hands above their heads and singing. I don't know what the people outside smoking at the Regent Street Retreat must have thought about what was going on there. Like, what the hell?
What is wrong with those people? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people associate, I think, concert experiences with like huge audiences and like big effects and all that kind of stuff. And for him, it's the exact opposite. I think like the excitement comes in it being so small and so intimate, and like what he's willing to do and what he's willing to try, you know, like you said, climbing up on things. And when we went outside, that was pretty interesting. the looks people were giving us as we were singing along outside to his songs were pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, he's a great showman, and definitely worth seeing if he's in your town. And I believe he does have some music on Spotify. Is that right?
He does.
I found it, so I thought we should play this. This is one of the songs he played. He played it on a keyboard, totally different version, but this will give you a little bit of an idea of one of his songs.
Feel free to sing along, people.
Right.
Thank you.
soon I will be gone. Or I might stick around for a spell, but I won't last until summer. Were my shoes always half out your open door? Did I even once take my jacket off to stay?
Jason Anderson.
Yeah, he can go from like quiet and everybody huddling around him to screaming at the top of his lungs within like seconds.
Right.
Yep. It's just kind of the dynamic between those two actually makes it a real fun show.
Yep. Yeah, and it was just like he had us all clapping along, and then he's like, all right, let's turn those claps into snaps. And everybody's like snapping their fingers and back to the claps. And everybody was, I mean, if you just listen to us describing it, you might roll your eyes and be like, that sounds pretty hokey.
Yep.
But when you're there, you just it's like a revival, you know, or something. Kind of gets swept up in it. It's tough to, I think it'd be tough to go there with your arms crossed, like I'm not going to participate in these things.
Right. So you're saying he'd be a good cult leader?
He'd be a good cult leader.
Yeah. Huh.
He could have gotten us to go across the street and what would he have us do over there? I don't know. Like spread the word. Come on, everybody.
That's going to be the next trick. He takes his concert into another bar.
Yes.
That didn't schedule a concert that night and just have like an impromptu
take it.
That would have been good. We could go to the retreat.
Yeah.
Get everybody, all those guys singing that I Am Like Snow to You.
Yeah.
Which we sang that one for quite a while.
We pick up new people at every bar and just go up and down Regent Street.
Wow. That's a good idea.
See how big of a crowd you can get.
Kind of like a pub crawl type thing, but you're just like caroling, sort of.
Yep. Indie caroling. Why do they only carol at Christmas? Is that the only time people can stand it?
Maybe that's it. Know. Yeah.
If you were all doing right, it in,
we're gonna start spring caroling now.
That's Carol Con, we'll call it.
Headlined by Jason Anderson. All right. There's a lot of music news that we are bringing to you. We're kind of making some of this news. So Chris invited us all over last week to watch the Sound City documentary by Dave Grohl.
Over to the mansion.
Right. And it was Chris's man pad, I'm going to call it. Right? I think I was actually right by the furnace, and I was really, it was like, this is the furnace.
The world famous furnace, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, but you got a pretty nice video and audio setup there, appropriate for watching a music documentary. So, and I think you were telling us about this last week, Chris. So why don't you pick it up from there?
Yeah, well, I realized that on DirecTV, which is what I have now, apparently, in addition to releasing movies in the theater at the same time, they'll release it on demand. So you can just pay like $7 to download it to your TV, which is what I did. So I had you guys over, had some beer and some pizza. Will doesn't really eat because he's skinny, so he didn't have any pizza, but I was not offended. But yeah, I mean, the movie is a documentary about the Sound City Studios in Southern California. And some of it focuses on, I mean, it touches on a lot of subjects. Some of it focuses on the Neve console, which is where all these great, you know, number one albums were recorded. You know, Fleetwood Mac and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Rick Springfield and kind of all these big names in the 70s, and kind of weaves a thread between all these acts and how the sound of this console, this mixing board, was so important, and how they made it big. And then it kind of transfers into the 80s where everything became digital, and you know, you have your loyalists who say you lose a lot of the sound when you move from from analog to digital. So it kind of follows. The first half of the movie is really kind of a straight ahead documentary. And then at the end, Dave Grohl, apparently when the Sound City studios closed, he bought the console and had it moved to his studio, which is, I think, in his house somewhere. And so he brings back a lot of the people that made music at Sound City, like Stevie Nicks and I forget his name, but the guy from the band Fear.
Yeah.
Trent Reznor shows up. Rick Springfield is there. Can't imagine why he was available. But and then the big surprise at the end is Paul McCartney comes in and they record the song that they would eventually go on to play at the Hurricane Sandy event as Nirvana with Paul McCartney. And I thought it was great. I watched it twice. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
I liked it a lot too. I liked the first part better than the second part. You know,
yeah. The history was really cool.
Yep.
They are putting out an album along with this. I don't know if it's gonna be on Spotify or not, but I mean that would be ironic that they're recording an album to show like how good the old days were and putting it out on Spotify. But the second half, the song seemed okay, but it also seemed like kind of an advertising for this album that they're putting out. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. You know, when he's Dave Grohl and Rick Springfield are working out like a little guitar lick or something, and Grohl's like, yeah, that's cool. And Rick Springfield will play it a few times and they kind of work it into a song. I couldn't help but think that Dave Grohl, whether or not he was actually, you know, enjoying what they created, he would have acted like he was. And I kind of felt like maybe that's what was going on. So it didn't feel like totally sincere, like, wow, these guys are really having a great time rocking out together. It seemed a little forced at some points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be noted that Nirvana's Nevermind was recorded there, and so that's how Dave Grohl and Madison's own Butch Vig came to make this movie. And Butch Vig is actually on the controls when Paul McCartney gets there. And it's funny, at one point, like, Paul McCartney says, all right, well, to Butch, he's like, just – tell me if I'm doing this or this wrong. And Dave Grohl goes, yeah, tell Paul McCartney what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that one of the interesting things was the contrast where you have their listing, like they're showing all these famous albums that were made at this studio. And just like one after another, just unbelievable list, right? And then contrasting that with how trashy the place was. Like they didn't bother to clean it, you know, and from the outside it just looked like total hell, right?
Right.
But you know, somehow they got these incredible sounding recordings from the place.
Yeah, one of the guys that they talked to said it was so filthy that you could like probably go pee in the corner and nobody'd even care.
Yeah.
Or notice. Like that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Here in Fourth Bedroom Studios we use coasters for our beers, or in this case, coffee. That's how far we've come.
It's sparkling.
Well, I've trashed it on occasion.
Yeah, Chris. That's why he Skypes a lot, because he's barred.
Been barred.
Well, it's like the Rock and Rollers trashing the hotel room.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
If a podcast doesn't go quite right, Chris, you know, when we get done recording, you just start throwing stuff all over the place.
Yeah, it's like bad.
Gotta clean the place up.
I have a pretty extensive rider too for my appearances in person.
Do.
Like, need all the red M&Ms taken out and.
Yeah, well, I liked the documentary too, and I really like watching these whole recording process documentaries. I always think that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Something cool about how albums are created. That there's always this behind the scenes stuff, and so much goes into it that you can't tell by listening to it, obviously.
Yeah, they talk pretty extensively about how you record drums and how drum sounds are different in different studios.
Right.
Which I never would have known.
Yeah, I never would have thought about that either. But they said basically getting the drum sound is what's tough, and that's what's unique about this place. And almost like you could go anywhere and record the guitars.
Right.
So I'm sure Will knew that. Chris and I didn't know that, but Will is the recording guy.
Guru, yeah. Expert.
Maybe someday...
Action reported stuff.
Maybe someday I'll have a Neve console.
I sent you guys that... Yeah, you can get those up on eBay, right?
Get one on eBay for like $40,000 or something.
Yeah. Well, the one that they had was $75,000 like in 1973 or something.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot.
They never said how much Dave Grohl paid for it in the liquidation process.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's move on to the next item of music news. Last week, we mentioned that there might be a new My Bloody Valentine album, and there might not be by the time that podcast went up, and I think it came out like that same day. So all these people were anxiously anticipating the album, and then they released it, and then of course it crashed the server, and my son told me that I needed to get it immediately, but the server was crashed. So but eventually, of course, things quieted down and people had the opportunity to actually either stream or buy the album. So here it is after 22 years, I think. There's a new My Bloody Valentine album. And I'm kind of wondering, like, what were they doing for the last 22 years? I mean, I guess a lot of bands just kind of stop operating. But I don't think that My Bloody Valentine, those people could make that much money, right? Even though they were well-known and highly regarded. So they must have had, like, they must have all had, like, regular jobs. But I haven't read up on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, so anyway, people are having very, very differing reactions to this album. And a lot of the fans are just completely thrilled. You guys have already told me that you're not really on board with this. You're just not into My Bloody Valentine, I guess. You can tell us some more, but I'm going to play some music first. Then I'll tell you what I think. Who Sees You from the new My Bloody Valentine album, which is called just MBV. And they don't do capital letters on this album. It's all small letters.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty important point to make, I think. So, well, I picked that song because I think that is sort of the sound of My Bloody Valentine, that kind of bendy guitar thing. And it's just exactly how they sounded 22 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So, I listened to this album like three or four times through, and I kind of like it, but it's not completely capturing me like I'm thrilled. And I think some people are just thrilled because they, you know, sort of the nostalgia of, wow, this band I loved 20 years ago has a new album. So I don't know, the jury's kind of still out for me, where I don't dislike it, but I'm not like thinking this is the thrill of the year.
Yeah, I did not listen to this new one. Chris has got some little romper room going on upstairs.
Yeah.
Yes, my children are running and screaming.
Well, we've had our dogs make guest appearances, so
yeah.
Now you can have your children. on there. But I, you know, I'm not super familiar with Loveless, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So my strategy was, you know, I'm gonna listen to that for a while before I listen to this. So that's the plan. So I don't have a comment on this one yet. But
yeah,
I kind of missed the boat on My Bloody Valentine, and I'm hoping I can catch up and see what so many people love about it, and you know, I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, for me, it was always just kind of one of those band names that was kind of floating around there that I'd always heard but never listened to, and then I listened to this one last week, and I just figured it wasn't for me, although. In listening to it, I thought this is the most Will album ever made.
Right.
Just because of the kind of the droney, shoegazy style seems to be what you like a lot. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely in the category of a thing that I would like.
Yes.
Let's play another one. This is called New You. That's one of the more easy-flowing kind of poppy songs. There is quite a bit of variety on this album. There are a couple of other tracks that are sort of, more droney, I guess I would say. And then this is one of those bands. I think they're trying to challenge listeners by actually not being that melodic at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if you can get that to sink in, it's more rewarding later. But this album is a fine line for me of like, am I going to make that effort for the whole album? So I'd like to hear what the listeners have to say. So if anybody out there has a comment on the My Bloody Valentine album, let us hear it. Now my phone is ringing. We got all kinds of great sounds. Somebody from U.S. Cellular is calling us.
Interesting.
All right, you know, there's even more music news. I went to see Yola Tengo, so I got to briefly tell people about that. It was good. Yola Tengo played two sets. You could almost say it was like two bands. So they started with the quiet set, and it was incredibly quiet, but a lot of stuff from the new album, and I thought it was great. Except my wife was not so convinced. She had a busy week, and she wanted to hear some more loud music. And so the quiet music almost put her to sleep. So we had to make a deal. I stayed, and I took the bus home. I gave her the key to the car, and I said, see you later. But I think she still kind of likes the band, but the quiet set was literally like the quietest 45 minutes of music by a rock band I think I've ever heard. So... but really good, really just quality stuff. And then the Loud set, I was really impressed with their song selection, because what do you do when you're a band with the history of a band like Yola Tango, and how do you decide what you're going to play? And I just thought they paced it really well and totally rocked out. Crowd liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. Everything was good. Yola Tango. There's my review.
There you go.
All right.
That about says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
Catch them if they're in town.
I guess I'll say one more thing. There's, where do you draw the line between being like totally unpretentious, down-to-earth, cool people, and totally pretentious, like hipster people? Because I can see Yola Tango being perceived either way, but because I like them, I perceive them as like the just unpretentious, everybody's there who just likes music, and you know. But I could see people who weren't into it thinking, oh, this is like an exclusive club that I'm not part of. It's just an interesting contrast there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, they're sort of, it's like people who are such big music fans, maybe it's like us, you know. I felt like I was with my people, sort of. People who are just totally into music, but I don't think they're like being jerks about it. So I'm just blathering on, but those were some thoughts I had.
I do.
I have to marinate on that for a little while.
Yeah, I kind of...
I'll get back to you next week.
I sort of understand where you're going with that. And yeah, maybe we can... I'll think a little bit about that.
I guess
that
I see them as just big music fans. All right.
Well, it'd be like if you went to, you know, like a Dave Eggers book reading. Same kind of thing, right? Like, here I am among the literate hipsters watching, or, you know, watching this guy read stuff that's kind of... congratulates me for liking it. And
well, I was thinking about this last night at the Jason Anderson show. It's like, you know, the coffee shop is open. What if somebody just walks in there that wasn't ready? You know, they just want a cup of coffee and they don't know exactly what is happening when everybody's crowded around Jason Anderson singing. They're gonna think it's like some kind of, you know, cult,
right,
or something.
Right. So, that's how we all got there. We all just came in to get a coffee, and next thing you know, we've got our jackets off and we're up clapping our hands,
yeah,
singing along.
Yep.
Hmm.
All right, time for Chris to tell us about some Norwegian guy that you've never heard of before.
Yes. I've been listening to a new album called Heavy Flowers by he's actually not even a young guy, he's 38, I believe. His name is Blaudzun, the alias of Johan Sigmund, who's from the Netherlands. He said, I would know more about him, but his Wikipedia page is in Dutch, I guess it is.
Isn't there a Google Translate for that?
No, it's funny because I thought, well, I'll try the translate button.
Yeah.
And it'll be like just a terrible translation. It's actually a pretty good translation. So it's not as fun as I thought. Hmm. But this album... was a big hit in the Netherlands. It got to number 4 on the charts there, and it won like their version of the Grammy for best album. So it's been a big hit over there. And you know, he's kind of folky, but sings. You know, it's interesting among the Scandinavian countries how many bands could pass for American bands. I mean, they don't really sing with an accent, and they sound a great deal like. You know, like they'd be from Brooklyn or something. And I think this guy's like that. So the first song that I ever heard of his, and I know I'm breaking a rule here on the podcast, but the first song on the album is called Flame on My Head. And I think that's a pretty good introduction.
Snowed off.
home I wanna go. I wanna go seek your hiding place. I wanna go far, I wanna go down flat face. I wanna grow old and hold your body next to me. I wanna go up, I wanna grow hair, I wanna go now. I wanna go mad and shout it out. I wanna go peace will hold, no war will bring me down. Carried away by the ghosts in your bed. Does it look like out of flame on my head?
Yep, that's Blauzoon.
And the best part of the fact that he's European is that his videos actually have naked people in them.
Wow.
Definitely a big plus. Naked women, which is a big plus.
Now we know some. The real reason Chris likes this album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess the big hit on the album is the number two song, which is called Elephants. But I'd switch it up, and if you wanted to play another one, go with number 10, which is called Sunday Punch.
That was Sunday Punch. That's the last track from the Blauzoon album. You know, I think we should play the hit, though, shouldn't we? I mean, if we're gonna feature this guy, we got to play his hit.
All right, play the hit. The hit is number two, Elephants.
She lives in that house.
That's really catchy. I can see why that's the hit.
Yeah, he's kind of a funny looking guy, but definitely I love his voice, and songs are really catchy, and yeah, so I'd recommend it. Barrett was saying last night he already has a couple albums for his top 10 list sewn up, and we're barely into February, and I think this is a strong contender.
Ooh.
Yeah, you
How
know.
How about you, it's, Will? You're falling behind.
Yeah, I've got a couple contenders already, I think. There are a couple that easily could hit that top 10 level. Yep. And there's so much stuff coming out now. I think all of us are listening to a lot of different stuff. So who knows? Just totally unpredictable what we're going to bring to you from week to week. So that's
maybe you'll hear something on the Grammys. The Grammys, I believe, is tonight as we're recording this.
Yeah, best alternative artist will be Limp Bizkit or something like that.
It'll be fun.
Isn't it? Right. Every year it's like Linkin Park or something, isn't it? Seriously.
Well, yeah, that was the like Listener's Choice Awards or something I was complaining about a couple of weeks ago. But
yeah,
I mean it's going to be somebody terrible,
yeah,
as it is every year, and we'll make fun of it as we do every year, and blah blah blah. So
yeah, yep, yeah, it will not be good.
Although Arcade Fire won it last year, I believe best album, not even alternative album.
That must have had to be a couple of years ago then, right? Because they haven't had an album for a while.
Yeah, The Suburbs, I believe, won best album, and everybody was like, who in the world is Arcade Fire? And I thought, by far, that was their third best album. But
yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about something that I've really been getting into a lot lately. This album by a band called DuckTales. And DuckTales is the second band from one of the guys in Real Estate. So we've talked a lot about real estate on this podcast. And I think this is the second or third DuckTales album, but it's the first one that's really well recorded. There were one or two that I sampled a little bit, and they were pretty much lo-fi. And this one's really well recorded, really good sound.
Maybe they used a Neve console.
Yeah, I think they probably watched that. Well, they couldn't have watched the documentary. They just came out. But it kind of sounds like it might have been made on a Neve console. really sounds good. And it's got this nice, easy flowing kind of thing like Real Estate, but there's a little different dimension. So the album is called The Flower Lane, and I'm going to start with track 3, Undercover. That's DuckTales.
Yeah, if I'd have known, it sounds kind of like Neon Indian. Remember those guys?
Or
that guy? I would have listened to this one. I did not. but I will.
Nor
not.
Did I. You think when somebody has a side project, you think that's an implicit acknowledgement that it's not as good as their regular band?
I don't think so, because I think now these days, especially like all these crazy people from Brooklyn, you know, there's so many combinations that tons of people are playing in multiple bands, and sometimes the second band gets more popular than the first one. Like, remember when, like, we both, I know Chris and I really liked Dive from last year, right? And he was, like, introduced as the touring guitarist for Beach Fossils or something like, I think that's what it was. Mm. It's like, okay, so that was his, so maybe that was his main band, but
yeah.
I don't know. Well, in this case, I think I like this DuckTales album as much as the real estate stuff. So maybe if you
that
guys...
could be a topic for a future podcast. Just think of a side project that you think is as good or better than someone's primary band.
One issue with that, I think, is that it's not going to get called a side project often unless the first band got really popular in the first place, right? And then therefore it would be a letdown. Like
the Honey Drippers is as good as Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
right.
Good example. Yeah. All right.
Well, in the case of like Postal Service, I think they actually probably got bigger than you think they're bigger than Death Cab for Cutie, or that for a while that album was like everywhere.
It was, yeah. And they strategically like refused to put out another album, and they just kind of let it sit there, and it just kind of, and now they're going to tour, and they're playing like in like stadiums. Like, I think they're playing at some like 20,000 seat arena or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's very weird. Yeah.
I wouldn't think that they could sell, you know, a tenth that.
They're playing at some festivals. So maybe maybe the thing that I saw with the 20,000 seats wasn't just them, but
I would think that, like, in that case, like, you'd be so worried that your secondary band would get so big that it would start to affect your primary band.
Yeah.
Your primary band are probably guys that you, like, grew up with and are, you know, locked to forever. And so you go off and start this other band that gets really big, and I don't know. I could see some trying to avoid split loyalties.
Right. Be a good subject for a rockumentary, I think. Okay, here's another one from DuckTales. This kind of reminds me of something else. Maybe you guys can... Let's play the What Does This Sound Like game. This is track 5, Planet From. Well, what do you think?
Sounds a little like Luna.
Yeah, absolutely, vocally.
Yeah, there's so many bands that have that monotone singing style and then kind of that jangly guitar.
The Clean? No.
The riff reminded me of this.
Mm.
That's "There She Goes" by The Lahs, but obviously a lot poppier track. I guess the DuckTales song is more a little dronier, but kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, I can see that. Did I cut you off there before?
Not dronier in the sense that they're going to come attack us anonymously, right?
Right.
Unmanned drones.
They're not. Yeah, they're not going to bomb us.
God, I hope not. Yeah. Nope. DuckTales are they're laid back kind of guys, I think. So yeah, I'm giving a very high rating to this album. So high that I'm going to make you guys listen to one more track. This is track 9 called "Letter of Intent."
As long as we're playing the "What Does That Sound Like" game, the beginning of that sounds exactly like the beginning of Tom Petty's "Don't Come Around Here No More."
Oh, that's right. That's the the echo drums.
Correct.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Yeah. Tom Petty could have just jumped in right there. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
Hey, don't come around here no more.
Yep.
There you go.
That's
a freaky video too. It's like him as the. Like through the looking glass, he was the rabbit or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Trying to reach back to the 80s.
I vaguely remember that. Yep. So that's DuckTales, and that's recommended by me. The album is called The Flower Lane. So is that all we've got this week? I mean, we're coming up on an hour. We're not quite at an hour, but again, we don't talk unnecessarily. We're full of content only, right?
No fat in this podcast. It's all lean muscle.
It is absolutely every... we said that before, but...
You know, one thing... There is one more thing to do, though, right?
What's that? Oh, the contact information. Oh, hey, you know that you can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the website willsband.net. And you can also contact us through the social media... which are Facebook and Twitter. We're on there. Just do a search and you'll find us. As Chris says, we are very easy to find. And let's see, there's something else you can do. Well, of course, you can download the podcast through iTunes or the Stitcher app or any Android app or any other app you can find anywhere. Podcasts are everywhere, and we are out there in cyberspace, right?
Yep.
And I'm hoping to get... I'm thinking we might have one more listener... from your friend, Barrett's friend, Gwen, you introduced me to last night. She specifically wanted to know how to find the podcast.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to listen.
Yeah,
so we're going to have one more listener.
I have a hard time telling people, like, talking about the podcast.
Yeah, like your friends. Like, hey, you got to listen to my podcast.
Do you guys feel that way?
A little bit, yeah. I kind of tell him once, and then I don't bother him anymore because they'll think I'm a dork. Because
last night Gwen was actually talking about that, like, you know, asking if there's anything that I think that she would like that I can recommend, and you know, I mentioned a couple things, and she's like, "Yeah, I had to find a way to keep up on what's going on." And I was just like, yep, yeah.
You had to mention the podcast at
I
that
didn't.
Point.
I didn't even mention it.
Well, she must have asked, because how did it come
I
up?
I did. I mentioned the podcast because she said the same thing to me.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, if you were a real friend, you'd listen to our podcast and
yeah,
you'd have 300 albums
yeah.
awaiting you that we've reviewed.
That's right.
Right. Right. If somebody brings it up, I think you got to just say, well, we do this podcast so you could listen to that. And got some ideas.
I know. There. I don't want to put somebody on the spot, you know?
Like put pressure on them to listen?
Right.
Like they'll be worried if you ask them next week if they listened or something.
Right.
I think
but, you know, if somebody said, Barrett, I wish you did a podcast with a couple of buddies where you would talk about music and stuff, because, and then I'd probably say, well, you know, I do. But otherwise, I gotta get over that. You guys are good at posting it on
yeah, you
Twitter
should post
and
too.
Stuff. I don't even do that. I'm gonna start doing that.
Just you should alert everybody that. To the fact that there is a money back guarantee with this podcast as well.
Yes,
every penny that you paid will be returned
you
to you
yes.
if you do not like the podcast. Yep, yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think Barrett, maybe you're just a little uncomfortable with being an internet celebrity. Right?
That's what it is.
We don't want to get too big. Barrett will start walking outside the house without pants and stuff and just doing all the crazy stuff famous people do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, he might start trashing the studio, too.
We'll find him out in the middle of the street firing guns into the air and stuff.
Yeah. Here, I'll go crazy. I'm going to take my coffee cup off of the coaster,
yep.
put it directly on the but it's not even hot now, but I am putting it right on the surface of the desk. Take that.
I was thinking when there's a story about Barrett on TMZ, then we'll know we've really hit it big, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's say goodnight, and then we will end up talking to people again, of course, next week. We already have done some pre-production for next week, so we're really on the ball this time. So we will talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.